Equiter, Super Limax Maximus Estellaris. Hello. Thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. I am Marie. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of March 26, 2025. What I will narrate next is based on what is said here about the creature known as Equiter. It is what countless people and of several star races have reported about the creature, what it is like, its story, what or who it is, and what it has done to them or to someone they know. I have no way to know how much of this is true and how much is just an exaggeration. I also don't know where each piece of information is coming from, or who said it, as much of this has been shared around for a very long time, perhaps thousands of years. I am writing this to share with you what is being said about the creature outside planet Earth, what is being mentioned as anecdotes or as gossip among countless people who belong to many star races who claim to have encountered it, or know someone who knows someone else, who has. Anyhow, it is a very interesting story or anecdote that very well might be based on fact, as so many claim it is the truth. After all, this is outer space, and things can get very strange out here. This creature does conform to the expectations most people and researchers have of how an extraterrestrial should be, as Equiter is ugly, unknown, mysterious, and very dangerous. We do have confirmation that it does exist, yet not of what it is said about it. Equiter is said to inhabit one of the swamps deep inside the Andromedan biosphere ship, Viera, which also acts like the Galactic Federation's local headquarters and which is currently hiding behind the moon. Viera is shaped like an arrowhead and is 811 kilometers long, 300 at its widest, and 50 kilometers tall, if I remember correctly, as I am writing this data from the top of my head. At its center, and taking up most of its interior space, it has a vast area full of nature, most of it allowed to grow wild, and it is so vast that it even contains whole mountains, rivers, and lakes which harbor countless strange animal and plant species, most not found on Earth. And that is why the Viera is called a biosphere ship, as that is exactly what it is. Andromedans have even larger ones, yet those are spheres. It is said to live, or lives, deep inside that huge ship, and in an extremely inaccessible part of it. Equiter is described as a huge garden slug between 4 and 5 meters long, and weighing several tons. It is an uneven dark brown color, with a beige underbelly, and it is slimy, as would be expected. Therefore, it needs to be close to water and semi-submerged, also to alleviate its heavy mass. Like any garden slug, it eats leaves of many plants, especially seedlings, ripening fruits and vegetables and decaying plant matter. Therefore, its natural habitat is a warm swamp. It is said that Equiter is neither male nor female. Giant garden slugs exist on Earth, but only grow to about 4 to 8 inches long, and their scientific name is Limax maximus. Therefore, based on that, I baptized Equiter's species as Super Limax maximus estellaris. One thing that does bother me, though, is that in my mind, such a large and heavy invertebrate creature could collapse under its own weight, even under a 0.8 gravity factor such as the one found in the Andromedan biosphere ship Viera, yet it is also said that it lives semi-submerged. There is another likeness on Earth, this time in science fiction from Star Wars, and as you can imagine, it would be Jabba the Hutt, yet Equiter does not have a humanoid face, it has one of a giant garden slug, nor does it display any human behavior, so the similarities end there. It is possible that Star Wars science fiction, whoever wrote that, somehow knew about Equiter and based Jabba the Hutt character on it, perhaps George Lucas, as it is said, Although I no longer believe in anything Hollywood states. We have no way to know this. The Andromedans claim that they adopted that creature as it had nowhere else to go, as it is said to be the very last of its very ancient species. Having said that, the Galactic Federation has classified Ekata as a level 10 out of 10 dangerous species, because of its mental capacity, therefore, I would strongly suspect that they have Ekata there to have it somewhat under their control, and not out of the kindness of their hearts. And this is where things turn interesting and perhaps even scary. It is said that Ekata is perhaps the mentally strongest creature that has ever existed. It is said to have the strongest ever telepathic powers, and can be extremely invasive to anyone's mind to the point that after an encounter, people will never be the same again. Some people say that if you look for Ekata, it will give you only 1 minute of its time, yet in that 1 minute, your entire life will change because of what will be revealed to you. I personally don't think Ekata will measure a minute for you, as it does not behave in a humanized way. I could argue that it is just an animal and behaves as such, yet many animals display far superior behaviors, ethics, and characteristics than many Lyrian humans. For example, they do not go about killing each other fighting for a payment percentage as humans do. It's not like you go look for Ekata to ask him 3 cosmic questions, as you would do with a Tibetan Lama. Anyhow, encountering Ekata for a very brief moment is said to change your life forever. As described by others, Ekata will suddenly notice that you are there looking at it, and then it will enter your mind to see what you are up to, perhaps even investigating whether you are dangerous to it or not. But once it accesses your mind, it does not stop at any shallow point, as it will research into your deepest unconscious, including past lives, regardless of whether you remember them or not, therefore you become completely transparent to Ekata, who will perform a complete brain hack against you. But hacking into anyone's mind at that level is also hacking into a person's soul, and if there is anything there that Ekata does not approve or agree with, it will change. Ekata is said to have an extremely high or strong connection to Source. Some even go as far as saying that the giant garden slug is a direct incarnation of Source itself, although I would argue that if Ekata is something or someone, then it cannot be Source, as there is one and the other in a dualistic manner and Source as such cannot be dualistic as it includes everything, and I mean everything at its ultimate meaning, but whatever. Therefore, its consciousness is very developed and advanced, and so would be its ethics, and its concepts of right and wrong, of love and integration, as well as of evil and destruction. Therefore, the transformation anyone would go through during an encounter with Ekata would only be positive, highly beneficial, and it would impulse the subject greatly in its spiritual path and advancement. Ekata teaches whoever encounters it how and what it is like to be close to Source, and everything that it involves. But as a highly mental giant garden slug, it does not stand in front of you to give you a lecture while you take notes. It will force on you the ultimate learning experience, the one that can only give lasting results, and that is, it will make you live all the experiences you need to grow spiritually, ethically, and so on. As described by the few who have encountered it, this means that Ekata, while examining your mind for its own purpose, will make you live countless incarnations, with all that it involves. This means that encountering Ekata will be the same as having innumerable lifetimes, incarnated in countless creatures, people, genders, and species, all of which are necessary for you to experience for your spiritual advancement and evolution. The perception of time for the person, or the subject which encounters Ekata, will also be one of countless reincarnations, or as needed, so it can also be seen as the giant slug sequesters your mind. This would mean that encountering that creature for only a few seconds, while it scans your mind to see what you are, will be the equivalent of perhaps thousands of years of reincarnations, in countless physical avatars of all kinds. The perception of time is only relative to the consciousness awareness that experiences itself and the illusory external world that surrounds it, but is only a reflection of who they are and of their spiritual level, as each one of us can only see what we can understand using our past experiences as a frame of reference. It is easy to see and to understand why someone will never be the same after encountering Ekata. After who knows how many lifetimes, and after perhaps thousands of years worth of incarnations and experience, the subject will suddenly wake up again and be aware of what just happened to him or her. But the values and understanding of the subject, of reality, and of the universe itself, will be more than deeply transformed. But as described by the few who have survived an encounter, you also remember who you were before, and once again in your initial skin, it feels like a return home after a very, very long trip. But all this opens important questions, and this is where things can get very scary, because it makes you imply, or think that perhaps we are inside the mind of a cosmic giant garden slug, who is scanning our minds, and making us experience life and everything that goes on in it, simply to fix our values and make them more agreeable with Ekata's, and therefore with Source itself. We may all be just a fragment of the imagination of one stinky and disgusting slimy creature as seen from our limited Lyrian human perspective. But all this also opens our minds to see that all creatures in their own right live their lives as they need to, and we have no right to judge who is more advanced than who else. All creatures offer different perspectives and learning opportunities for the souls who inhabit them, and regardless of how insignificant a creature may seem, we cannot know who is inside, and it is not up to us to decide if its life is worthwhile, or valuable, or not. Because we as Lyrian humans have the ill tendency to think we are the top of evolution, and the smartest creatures around. When creatures like Ekata do exist, and don't need clumsy, rigid steel cans we call starships, to try to move around the stars, to learn about what is there, when other creatures, however ugly they may be, can do the same far more efficiently using mind alone. We are far from being the most advanced creature in the universe, or we are, according to us, but each creature also has the right to think the same of itself or of its species. As the best example, just look at the Irma, and their massive ego. After all this, we can never again think less of any little insignificant insect or creature. Love and respect all creatures, little and big ones, ugly and beautiful ones, as they are all people, and they are all of us in another incarnation, including you, so be kind to yourself. And we owe garden slugs far more respect than they obtain, because it looks like they may very well be the masters of the universe. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.